On into the 4 o'clock hour we go. Scraby has gone home. He can't show his face any longer. He has lost the Fantabulous Sports Game Show to John and Murrieta. An exciting victory. Well done, John. And we now move into hour number 3 of the program. Chris Hello and Scraby here in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. traveling to St. Louis with the Padres, who, if you just tuned in, lost their second one-run game in a row. Fell to the Marlins 3-2 today. Padres now 22-16 in games decided by one run. That's 38 one-run games. Incredible. Out of 102 this season. And the Padres win most of them, but they didn't win the last two. And so it
is. The danger of playing one-run games all the time.
That they dropped in the standings. Why? Because the Dodgers trailing 3-2, two outs, bases empty in the bottom of the ninth. Get the bases loaded, obviously still with two outs. And Freddie Freeman hits a low line drive the opposite way to left field. Harrison Bader, who is a good fielding outfielder for the Twins, comes in, dives forward to try to scoop the ball off the turf. How much did he miss it by? A half an inch?
Yeah.
I mean, just off his glove.
Just
like,
off.
So close.
Like, almost surprising that he didn't catch
it. Yeah, right. You thought he was going to actually catch it, and he kind of ended up smothering it. By the time he picked it up, both runs score. Dodgers have won 4-3 on the walk-off over the Twins. So the Padres now are 4.5 back in the NL West. Giants are 6 back. After they beat the Braves today, 9-3, my favorite player, Rafael Devers, with a couple of home runs there for the Gigantes. That's that. That's really it in terms of newsworthy items. There's a bunch of trade rumors. They continue to float around. Cronenworth's name is getting mentioned more than I expected it to.
Me too.
Dylan Cease's name keeps getting mentioned. And then you could name 100 different players that the Padres are supposed to acquire, from Zach Eflin, starting pitcher.
I've seen that.
Seen him many times. Charlie Morton, player. Yeah, because that's better than my
version. Let me get it. Let me get it.
Charlie
going.
Morton. Thank you.
It was like an abridged version.
There we go. But yeah, there's a bunch of names, and you can just name just about any other player.
I saw something earlier today that kind of made sense because I've never heard of the guy in my life. The backup catcher for the Yankees, J.C. Escara or something.
I don't. Yeah. I mean, look, anybody.
Anybody is on the board.
The kid starting for La Jolla High would be a potential improvement. In the catching department, I'm sorry to say. But I don't know that catcher is where you need to go. I think you need to shoot higher.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that's their big deal. But
right. Anyway, we got 8 days to figure it all out. Trade deadline is a week from tomorrow. We do have a Padre Roundtable tomorrow from 10 to 11, an hour of commercial-free Padre talk.
Next Thursday is going to be fun for the station because we get to do the roundtable before the deadline, and then we're going to be on after the deadline on a Padres off day.
Like, won't most of the trades happen while we're doing the roundtable? You know what I mean? It's going to be,
no,
like,
the last few years,
a crazy day. I
feel like
that.
The last few years, it's been late trades.
Later in the day?
Yeah. And sometimes they come in after the deadline as well, just because they went through, but no one reported them. I'm excited about next week.
All right. Well, that's all still to come. Right now, we got a little Chris versus the fans. Chance for you to win what John just won. John got a qualification for the Las Vegas trip. We had an extra one because we didn't play Chris versus the fans yesterday.
True.
We are playing it today, and you'll get a chance to qualify for today's grand prize. Two-night stay at Park MGM Las Vegas, 2 tickets to Motley Crue. That is September 19th, and a $100 gas card. Catch Motley Crue's Las Vegas residency at Dolby Live. Park MGM, they're there September 12th through October 3rd. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com or win right now.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
The Guardians are on TV, Chris, and I've been hearing a lot of rumors about Stephen Kwan maybe being available.
Left fielder?
Your left fielder. I don't necessarily know that the Guardians would do that. They're having a bad season, so maybe they're...
Maybe. You know, I don't know all the contract situation for every player in the league. Kwan, to me, is another bit of a Luis Arraez type. I don't know that you need another one of those. He's a little more power.
He's got more power.
But you know what I'm saying?
I do.
A little bit Luis Arraez.
He's more of a contact guy than a power guy, but he still has lots of control. He has two more years of control after this year's.
According to ESPN and their trade deadline preview today, Padres' best asset is Robert Suarez, and I've been saying that personally. Best fit, according to them, get the sounder ready.
Oh, gosh.
I don't want Luis Robert. I just don't.
I don't either.
The guy's hit 190 for like 3 years in a row.
Yeah, I don't get
I don't see how he's going to, you know, change too much for you.
He's just not, I'm not willing to take the chance that he turns it around on a dime when he gets to San Diego.
Yeah, especially San Diego, one of the toughest places to hit.
And I know people are like, oh, well, we need a guy like Luis Robert. Well, no, you don't. If you're complaining about what left field is doing now, you're going to be complaining about Luis Robert.
Well, there is one thing to make a trade and bring a name in at the deadline. It's another thing for that name to do something.
Yeah.
Now, if you can get the 2023 version, 38 homers, 857 OPS, great. But the 2 years since version has only hit 24 home runs total.
Yeah.
And has an OPS 200 points lower than that.
And there is something to be said about playing on a bad team, but if you're a good player, you're going to play well. You're going to hit well. You're going to play well. Like, it doesn't make sense to me.
I don't see it. I'll just say one last thing about Luis Robert, and this may matter, may not. The only outfield position he's ever played is center field. So he's never even stepped foot in left field.
I didn't realize that.
Just saying.
That's a big conflict of interest.
Something for me to think about.
Of interest.
Certainly I'm going to move Jackson Merrill. So. Yeah.
Hey, Jackson, we're going to bring in this guy who's hitting 180.
He's up to 206. So let's give him his due.
Sorry.
Let's give him his due.
All right. You want to talk about the rules?
I want you to.
Okay. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first time player, let us know before you get into it and you'll get that first question for free. By the way, Trent Grisham. Having a great year for Trent Grisham.
He got off to an incredible start. He quieted quite a bit.
Yeah, the only reason I bring him up is because he's on TV right now.
He just came up to bat?
Yeah, he's hitting like 250 with like an 833 OPS or
something.
Yeah,
his OPS
like that.
Is 833, which is annoying because when he was a Padre, he had OPSs like 620.
Yeah.
You know? So that's annoying when you see a guy go up 200 points with another team.
I don't know why I'm complaining about him. He single-handedly won the Mets series in the playoffs.
He had 17 home runs that year, 2022. He's got 17 this year for the Yankees.
All right. Here we go with our first contestant. Let's go to Evan in La Mesa.
Hi, Evan.
Hello, Evan.
Welcome to it.
Howdy do, boys.
Howdy do.
We're doing well. We're doing weldy. Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. Mason Miller pitches for what Major League Baseball team?
It's one of the guys rumored.
The Oklamento A's.
The Oklamento A's is correct.
What did he call them? The
Oklamento.
Oh, I like it. I hadn't heard that one yet. Okay.
Yeah, everybody still, like, it just still bothers me with the standings. It just says Athletics. It's just so.
I'm not a fan of that either.
Yeah, it's just so weird. All right, here we go, Evan. Question number two. Which manager took the Padres to their first World Series?
Oh, that's actually a tricky one, I think.
Oh, I know Chris is going to know this one.
He is.
He is.
The guy yelled at me a few times. He yelled at everybody else as well. I wasn't the only one he yelled at.
I want to say Dick Williams.
Dick Williams is right. You got it. Dick Williams is a competitor. I wonder what Dick Williams would have thought of Sanchez's celebration running around the bases today.
I don't think he would like it.
I don't think Dick Williams would have let him get back to the dugout. I think Dick Williams would have run out himself.
So you think in this case,
done something about it?
The Pete Alonso rule that he wants instituted, where you can charge the mound, you think
would have been good in that case?
Instead, just charge wherever he was playing on
the field. It's not fair to rip on Jesus Sanchez because he's doing what everyone does now. But I mean, you know, a home run, get over yourself.
Well, I was just talking about this, too, and Evan, hang on, we'll get to question number three. The Dodgers had a walk-off. Why is it that it's accepted to have these massive, crazy pile celebrations after a walk-off after game 100, but it's not like...
At least you win the game.
Okay.
A home run, I mean, you know, in the fifth inning is...
Is a whatever.
It's a whatever.
All right.
I thought.
Here we go, Evan. Question number three. You get this right or Chris gets it wrong, and you are qualified for Las Vegas. Who was the first player ever drafted by the Carolina Panthers?
Come on. Really?
I know. I knew this before.
You knew this?
Yes. I was very into the expansion teams when they came out.
Oh, wait. So, wait. Okay, wait. Whoa. Expansion draft or in, you know, college draft?
Oh, I know it. I think it's Kerry Collins.
He's going with Kerry
That's
Collins.
That's the answer I'm looking for.
Well, then give it to him. He's
wow.
a winner.
Wow. That
Evan,
was
you got
impressive.
It. You swept it.
Stay there, Evan.
Yeah,
wait, hold on. Evan, how did you know that Kerry Collins? Because I don't think many people would know that.
He knew it. Give it to him.
Because I'm a 90s football kid, and
Me
also
too.
My cousin would always pick expansion teams as his favorite teams. He was a Diamondback fan, a Panther fan.
There okay. you go.
And he would always wear Kerry Collins jersey when we were kids.
I also think that, you know, it's
Stay
not
there,
like
Evan.
He pulled a name that we've never heard of.
No.
Right?
No. I wasn't suggesting that
Kerry
he cheated
Collins
or
was a pretty popular, you know,
I just
name
wanted to know
days.
Because that would be... He nailed it on the head. 90s football kid. That was me. I was so into these expansion teams when they came out.
And he
in
was the guy.
95.
And according to this, he was their first round pick in the NFL draft. So that's who they drafted, I assume, out of college first.
Oh,
pick.
Yeah, Penn State.
Okay. So, and he led them to the NFC Championship game.
I remember that.
The next year.
And guess who was the coach?
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. George Seifert?
It was. I believe it was. No, I got it.
No, I don't think it was.
Because he won the Super Bowl No, he wouldn't have gone in that year because.
I don't think he started
so
with the
So I'm definitely
Panthers
wrong
right away.
About that. Let me just get the right coach first before we move on.
I don't know, you know, now that we got a second here. Well, no, we don't have a second. You look it up while we're in a break. Evan, congrats. Well done. You swept the game today. An impressive performance. Gwen and Chris continues.
Dom Capers.
Dom Capers.
That's a name.
There's a pull.
That is a pull. If he would have gotten Dom Capers, I would have thought he cheated.
Yeah, right. All right, good job. Evan wins the Chris versus the fans today, and more Gwen and Chris is coming up. All right, welcome back to it. Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Scraby and I were just commenting because we glanced up, and Kyle Schwarber, when he hits a home run, like, you better have a glove on in the right field stand.
There's no wall scrapers with him.
He murders the ball, and it you know comes in there hot.
Yes,
you know
it
what
does.
I mean. And
yes, it does.
By the time the Philly fans were busy tracking his home run down, Bryce Harper hit one further.
Yeah, he did.
And the Phillies are out to a quick 3-0 lead over the Bo Sox. Who's pitching for the Red Sox?
Lucas Giolito.
He'll probably be the next Padre trade rumor. You
oh,
know what I mean?
Hope not.
Yeah, anybody that gets bombed routinely seems like they're a Padre trade target. Dodgers beat the Twins, came from behind, 4-3. Freddie Freeman, the two-run walk-off single. Padres lost 3-2 to the Marlins, and the Giants won 9-3 over the Braves. I was looking at the Dodger thing. You know, I mentioned that something has a chance to happen this year that's going to be very strange, and that is that for the first time in the history of baseball, you could have an entire league go without anybody getting a 300 batting average. And it's interesting what it may come down to. Right now, the Dodgers, Will Smith, speaking of our sounder, Scrabe, Will Smith, thank you. Yeah, we're not big fans of his for many reasons. But right now, the Dodgers, Will Smith, is hitting 325.
Yeah, he's
so he's way over 300, but he's the only NL player over 300. Next is Kyle Stowers at 295. But here's the thing with Will Smith. He currently needs, according to the rules of baseball, 319.3 plate appearances to qualify. And what that comes down to is you have to have, and this is in the rules of baseball, to qualify for the batting title, you have to have 3.1 plate appearances per game.
Okay.
3.1. Now, this used to be pretty easy to do because guys played 4 or 5 at-bats every game. They played 162 games. You know, guys would have 600, 700 at-bats. This didn't come into play. But now, this day and age, is starting to come into play because guys take a day off here, a day off there. They go on the injured list for 10 days. Well, right now, Will Smith needs 319.3. Currently has 319. He's actually below the number that he needs.
So he doesn't count right now.
As of today, he doesn't qualify, for the batting title.
Why aren't they doing everything they can like they did for Paul Skeens last year, even though he didn't qualify?
Yeah, I would think that Dave Roberts will make sure he qualifies by the time it's over. But as of the moment, the only 300 hitter in the National League doesn't qualify for the batting title. So, yeah, something fun to keep an eye on. I like stuff like that. Now, Tony Gwynn, of all people, holds the National League record for the lowest batting average ever to win the batting title.
Really? What was it?
313. Luis Arraez almost beat that last year. Arraez was at 315. The all-time record is 1968, which was the year of the pitcher. Carl Yastrzemski led the American League at 301. Wow. He's the only guy that year over 300. And he won the Triple Crown. But anyway, it has a chance to happen in the National League. Although either Will Smith is going to have to, you know, cool off the batting average, or he's going to have to not qualify.
Well, that means he would have to slip and fall on his way home and go on the IL.
I don't like to root for things, but Will Smith is not my favorite guy.
I didn't know that.
Well, yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I know you know
that.
And you look, get in line.
I
mean, all of his crap, the profile last year, all of the stupid stuff he keeps saying about how this is no rivalry and the games don't mean anything. It's just, he doesn't read the room very well.
I can agree with
that. From a San Diego perspective, anyway. We mentioned Ohtani homered in his fifth straight game today. The record is 8, and it's held by 3 guys.
Oh, I know one of them.
Who?
Joey Votto tied, right?
No.
Oh, he did 7 then.
Joey Votto did not make 8. The 3 guys, Ken Griffey Jr., Seattle Mariners, 1993.
I'm acting like I've never heard this, even though I've heard it before.
Don Mattingly, 1987 with the Yankees. And Mattingly was a great hitter, but not a great home run hitter.
That's crazy.
It's a little surprising. And the other guy is somebody nobody's ever heard of, a catcher back in the 50s named Dale Long, who did it for the Pirates. So those are the only 3 that have ever hit a home run in 8 consecutive games.
If I'm Dale, I'm like
Dale Long,
buying a bar somewhere, and I'm putting
you're
that
mentioning
up.
That
home of
Dale Long, the all-time record holder for most consecutive games.
It's
going to
be
a
really
run.
Long sign, but it will be there.
Dale died in 1991, so unlikely that he's going to be purchasing a bar anytime soon.
Thanks.
Sorry, Dale. But you are getting a mention. If any of the Dale Long marching and chowder society is out there, he's getting a mention right now. The guy played 12 years in the big leagues for a whole bunch of different teams, including the Pirates. Made the All-Star team in the year that he set the record with 8.
Well, he should.
In a row. He made the All-Star team that year. His lone All-Star appearance.
Home of Dale Long.
Dale Long.
Where's he from? Let's go find out.
He's from Springfield, Missouri. He died in Palm Coast, Florida. You want to know where he's buried in case you'd like to go visit him?
No, I'm good. I'm not going to go visit. Maybe I should go visit
Dale's
Dale.
All over.
Update him on the home run.
I got to be honest with you. I got to be honest with you. Dale's all over the place. He was born in Missouri. He died in Florida. He's born in buried in Massachusetts.
That is all
over
the place.
So he's everywhere.
Real quick, tune in to the Manager's Report with Mike Schilt this Friday at 9 a.m.
You know,
Ben
and I hope Ben and Woods will ask Mike Schilt if he knows who Dale Long is.
I'm sure he does.
You think?
Honestly, because Mike Schilt's a St. Louis guy. Like, he spent so
Dale
much time
Long's
there.
Dale Long's from Missouri. You think he might have met Dale Long around the somewhere?
What
around
year
him?
Was this for Dale Long? 50s?
That
you
he
said?
Did the record?
Yeah.
1956.
I have a
hit
feeling.
The eight game home run streak.
Mike Schilt seems like he
He'd
would be
enough
a guy
of a
who
historian
knows.
To
yeah.
know who Dale Long is.
Yeah. But tune into the Manager's Report. I don't think they'll be asking him about Dale Long.
Well, I'm going
to
see Ben tomorrow, so I might ask him to
Oh, there you go. There you go. Mm-hmm. Mike Schilt, this Friday at 9 a.m. on Ben and Woods, the Manager's Report is refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925.
Dale Long finished his career with the Bronx Bombers.
Oh, man. Tyler just gave us the greatest bar name for Dale ever. The long ball. That is fantastic.
We got to resurrect Dale Long. Either that or we just build a bar in his honor and call it the long ball.
Can you imagine building like a restaurant bar for a guy that no one's ever heard of but call it the long ball and just
put
like,
a couple of pictures of Dale Long
yeah,
up in
and just
there?
Make it really well known that he's tied for the most consecutive home runs.
We'll put a little picture of Mattingly and Griffey in the corner because they tied his record, but we've overdone it on Dale
Long. Oh, the
long
ball. That is a fantastic title.
He won a World Series ring in 1962 with the Yankees. All right, enough on Dale, more than we ever needed to know. Phillies 3, Boston nothing. Speaking of the Yankees, they've gone ahead of Toronto 1-0. In the second, Yankees are trying to catch the Blue Jays. Still have a 3-game lead in that division. Home run in this game, Jason Dominguez, more Gwynn and Chris, and a check of the Big Five when we come back. Welcome back at 4:35. Padres, although they did not get one today, have already thrown 14 shutouts this year as a staff. And one might say that they need a shutout to win these games. They gave up 3 runs today. It was too many. They lost to the Marlins 3-2. I bring up the shutout stat because the Cardinals, who are going to be hosting the Padres starting tomorrow, were shut out in Colorado today at Coors Field, 6-0. That's the first shutout of the year for the Rockies. They have won. Remember the Rockies came here that one weekend this year and got shut out all 3 games?
Yeah, they didn't even like score a run.
That was a signal to how bad the Rockies would be this year. But they're better. They've won 4 of their last 6. They've won 2 straight series.
Michael King went 9 on that Sunday.
Yeah, well, it's the easiest shutout he ever got.
I mean, the two complete games this year have been against the Rockies for the Padres.
Well, you
might as well do it.
It's still a big league game.
Totally.
It still goes down as a positive achievement on your record. By the way, they just posted this. It's not only their first shutout of the year, it's their first shutout in 221 games, which is a long
season
time.
And a quarter.
Yeah, last May was the last time. There's only one team that's ever gone longer in the last 100 years. So, good on the Rockies, I guess. All right, we're going to get to the Big Five.
Yes.
Scraby's got stuff, including Tyreek Hill.
Oh, yes, I do.
In the news today.
Yes.
Groveling. He's not groveling?
No, this is Tua talking for him.
Tua telling him he needs to grovel.
No, you'll hear the clip, though.
Here it comes after traffic.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we got a lot to talk about today. And first, I need to say this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Staples. Calling all parents and teachers at Staples. Your back-to-school budget is officially saved by the button, the easy button, with supplies as low as 25 cents, plus laptops up to 40% off and more deals on top brands and trending styles. Find it all at Staples. That was easy.
I used to like their tagline better.
What is it?
Yeah, we have those too.
How long ago was that?
I don't know. Staples first came out.
Okay. We have those too. I mean, it does describe to me that if I go there, you better have it though.
Better have a few Staples, right? Call yourself Staples.
Oh, now I get it.
Oh, yeah. No, that's okay. What did you think it would mean?
I thought like they just have every sort of office supply. No.
They were referring to the fact that they actually did have Staples.
Okay, good. I'm glad the Staples had Staples. When I was a kid, though, it would always depress me when I would see the back to school sales, that commercials and stuff, because I knew it was coming.
Immediate depression.
Like, no, I don't want to get anything.
Yeah, I hated back to school. And parents who loved back to school because they knew they were going to get the house clear.
Yeah.
And your mom would always give it the old, hey, school's coming up.
Yeah.
Let's go get you some stuff. And you're like,
no!
You know, yeah, you hated it. And they didn't understand that. For that reason, by the way, to this day, I still hate the holiday Labor Day.
Oh, because it's back to school.
Came right before school.
Yeah.
Although that's not the case anymore.
No, because school starts in like August now.
Kids start school like next week now. They keep moving it and
that's
changing
crazy.
It. But that's, yeah, it used to be right after Labor Day. So
whatever happened to summer?
Come on.
Come on, man.
Number five.
All right, so we don't have a sports court this week, so I'm going to put this right here.
Okay.
But the Chargers are facing a class action lawsuit over sending the 2025 Chiefs home game to Brazil. Now, this went to Pro Football Talk. Mike Florio is really good at breaking these things down. This has not been filed yet, but they're planning on filing it.
Who's filing this?
A season ticket holder.
Oh, the season ticket holder
is
going to sue the Chargers
because
they allowed the NFL to move a game to Brazil.
But here's why.
Okay.
I'm just going to read what he wrote because it would be much easier to understand.
Okay.
The Chargers marketed season tickets based on a 9-game regular season slate
Fair
of home
enough.
opponents, including the Chiefs. Two, the Chargers sent the Chiefs game to Brazil. Three, the Chargers did not provide a refund to season ticket holders. The renewals arrived in October 2024, touting 9 regular season home games for 2025, including the Chiefs. The Chiefs' presence on the schedule was repeated in advertising published in February 2025.
You know, this is something I'd never thought about, but it's a really good point. The Chiefs are a huge draw. If you're thinking of buying Chargers season tickets, you want to see Mahomes, you want to see everybody, Kelsey.
A good game or
whatever.
You want
to see Taylor Swift.
I guess,
right?
Yeah.
You want to go to the game. And then they move the game to Brazil. Okay. But you got to give people their money back for that game at least, do you not?
By June 2025, so.
So the Chargers are full of crap because they did this to me. Remember, they did this to me last year on the parking.
Oh,
when I wanted
to
go up for the Broncos game.
Well, that was more of an NFL thing.
A little different, but the NFL moved the game to Thursday night. My wife and I could no longer go to the game, and we'd already purchased parking 6 months ahead, because you have to. And we went to get our parking money back, and they said, oh, no, you already bought the parking. And we're like, yes, we bought parking for a game that's no longer going to be played.
Yeah, yeah.
And they wouldn't give us our money back.
That is crazy.
So the Chargers are just, you know, we hate them already. They're giving us way more reasons.
Here, let me give you some more information, though. Because the Chargers would not allow season ticket holders to cancel their tickets for 2025 season with a refund. Instead, cancellation would have resulted in the forfeiture of any payments made already for the 2025
Chargers,
season
you
tickets.
You guys are just, no wonder everyone hates you.
There's one
like
more
this.
Point that I wanted to make in this thing. Anyway, the plaintiff called the Chargers and wanted to cancel, and I said, nope, you can't cancel. So this is when he came up with this idea.
I think you should. I think this is this would not get thrown out of my courtroom.
Well, I was going to make. I was going to ask
Chargers,
for a decision,
right? Not just because it's the Chargers, but because it's just fairness.
If you're going to market a team. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're right. If you look, you're buying something, and part of what you're buying is a ticket to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And that is no longer part of what you bought.
Yes.
I don't know, maybe somebody has better real estate knowledge than I do, But if I buy a house that includes a guest house, and then when I go to move in, they say, oh, no, you know what? The guest house is not going to be available.
That would change the deal for me.
To me, it's going to change the deal. Maybe that's a bad comparison, but I'm just trying to come up with a comparison.
It's pretty simple to me. It's pretty simple. Give them their money back for that game.
At least back for that. You've got to give them the money for that game.
And if they want to get out of it now because you're not going to be able to see the Chiefs, then you got to let them out without penalty.
Or at the very least, you have to say, look, we're going to apply the money to tickets another time or whatever.
Next year's thing.
Let me tell you something.
I hate the store credit, though.
Let me tell you something. Alaska Airlines was nice enough when Lori messed up our tickets to Las Vegas a month ago.
Remember that? She's not listening.
Yeah, well, she's admitted it now, finally.
Oh, good.
Yeah. She came to grips with the fact that she pushed the wrong button.
Okay.
But we had mixed up tickets to Las Vegas. Anyway, it was too late to get our money back too late to buy other tickets because the flight was the next day. They didn't give us our money back, but they at least gave us credit for another Alaska flight. That's something. And I give Alaska Airlines credit for doing that. They didn't have to. They could have said, tough luck, you messed up. That's kind of what the Chargers are doing. Even in a sense when the buyers didn't mess up. They bought tickets thinking they'd get to see the Chiefs. That might be the only reason some people bought tickets to see the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean,
they're that big of a draw.
It could be.
And now you're going to take the Chiefs out.
The only thing
You've got to give people a chance to get some of their money back. I'm on this.
Mike Florio did not say this, but the only reason I see them not being able to do this is if you sign a ticket, really the ticket season ticket form, and it says we can remove games from the schedule at any point.
All right, you better show me that.
I agree.
Now you're talking about buying a ticket to a Broadway play because Taylor Swift is the star. And you show up, and she's off that night. I think it says on the ticket.
It does.
We can't guarantee the appearance of everybody.
Because someone could get sick.
Right.
Someone could.
So in that case, you don't get your money back because they told you ahead of time.
Same with the NBA and the load manager.
Very good. Yeah, you buy a ticket to see LeBron James, he may not play. So you're right. This is what it's going to come down to on my decision. Did the Chargers say in their ticket somewhere that the schedule could change without notice?
I think it's in there. If not, this is a major problem for their legal team.
They got to give the money back. But then again, the NFL is so full of itself. You know, they went right ahead and moved that Charger-Bronco game to Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
All the people, like my wife and I, were inconvenienced. But what about all the people from Denver who had wanted to fly out on a Friday and a Saturday?
Because they couldn't switch anything.
They couldn't switch it. The game was played. They had hotel room for the next day.
Yeah.
That's too late.
Yeah.
And the NFL said, I don't care. And not only the NFL say they don't care, they said now they're going to do it all the time. They said it got good to them. They're going to do it more this year. There'll be more games.
I don't know if you heard my eye roll.
To Thursday night.
All right, we need to get moving. We're both in agreement on this. Tua Tagovailoa scored some points with me today, Chris, and made me feel good about the the Dolphins locker room leading into the season. At the start of training camp today, Tua said this about Tyreek Hill's "I'm out" comment after last season and whether or not Tyreek has to rebuild relationships. Here is your quarterback.
But it's not just with me. It's with a lot of the guys. I'm not the only one that heard that. You guys aren't the only people that heard that. You know, a lot of people that follow football, that follow the Miami Dolphins, that follow Tyreek, that are fans of his, you know, everyone has seen that. So when you say something like that, you don't just come back from that with, hey, my bad. You know, you got to work that relationship up. You got to build everything up again. And, yeah, it's still a work in progress, not just for me, but for everybody. But you know, like I said, he's working on himself. He's working on the things that he says he wants to get better with and do better on. So that's the first step to me, and so I commend him for doing that.
All right, that was Tua Tagovailoa talking today. Made a big fan out of me.
Well,
sounds like a leader.
Yeah, what he's referring to is that Tyreek Hill did talk to reporters today, and he said that he has been working on himself this whole offseason to become a better person. And I hope that that's true, because Tyreek Hill is less than a stellar person. He's a fantastic player.
Here's the question. Do you think this is the leadership Tyreek needs?
Well, that's the start. Will he follow the leadership?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
If he's going to listen to it and go, you know, who's he to say something?
Yeah.
Then Tyreek's falling back to being who he was before.
Yeah.
So let's hope that Tyree, who said, I'm focusing on myself, my family. I really want to be the best version of me. I'm, you know, focusing on myself to be better. So I hope so, because Tyreek needs work in all of those areas. The one area he doesn't need work on is being a football player.
He's really good at that.
So, you know, I hope that Tua helps lead him down the proper road.
You know what? I think that's a great way of putting it. I think Tua is a good person for Tyreek, because Tua seems like he's got a head on his shoulders that, you know,
you know,
he,
it's
he
interesting. We've criticized Tua probably more on this show than most, because, you know, we follow the Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa has never done anything that I can think of that has created a stir with anyone else. He's a good guy. He works hard. He's injury prone, but you could also say he has fought through it and still wishes to keep playing despite warnings that he shouldn't.
That's true.
You know, so a lot of people say, well, Tua's kind of stupid. How about saying that Tua's a gamer and we ask for guys like this? We don't see them as often as we used to.
I agree.
So maybe Tua deserves a little.
He needs his flowers.
A little love.
Number three.
Another quarterback talking to the media today was Caleb Williams, and he was asked about some of his personal goals heading into 2025. This is the quarterback of the Bears today.
Obviously, I have self goals, and that's, you know, being the first 4,000-yard passer in Bears history. That's a, you know, goal of mine. 70% completion that helps the team, keeps us on the field, puts us in better positions. And then other than that, just trying to go down and, you know, score the most points that we can with each drive that we have. So, you know, that's kind of my self goal. And obviously, other than that, you got to go win. That's success for me. That's success for the team. And you know, that's all we wish for and all I wish for.
You know, I may have been wrong about Caleb Williams last year, but here's the thing. He wants to be the first 4,000-yard passer in Bears history. He also wants to complete 70% of passes. Last year, he completed 62.5% of his passes, and he threw for 3,541 yards, 20 TDs, and 6 interceptions. I'm up right here, I guess. Do you think he can reach those goals? I do. I do think he can reach those goals, and I think he's going to get better this year. I may have misjudged Caleb Williams when he was doing his whole pre-draft process thing. I may have fallen for some media banana in the tailpipe, but I feel like he has done a really good job of just kind of staying out of things. So, Chris, what do you think? Can he reach his goals?
I don't think he'll make it. To do both things, he'd have to do something that only 4 other quarterbacks did in all of football last year.
Oh, I mean, okay.
Those 4 were Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, Joe Burrow, and Geno Smith. Now, that's not exactly, I know, it's not exactly a Hall of Fame group, but only 4 guys did 70% and 4,000 yards. It's not easy to do.
I didn't realize it wasn't. I just thought everybody threw for over 4,000
I mean,
yards.
You know, Patrick Mahomes was 67% and under 4,000. And that's Mahomes. So I don't know. Those are pretty lofty goals. And I don't know that I like putting a 70% on a guy, because then I think if it's in the back of your mind, you might start to guide the ball a little, going, I got to go 7-for-10. But at the same time, he's got to improve 62. 62 was the worst in the league.
Like, I wouldn't even expect that.
It was down with Bryce Young and Trevor Lawrence and Drew Locke. It was bad. So he's got to do better.
All right.
In that regard.
Number 2.
We're going to have to move through this quick. We don't need to do number 1. North Texas coach Eric Morris didn't hold back when asked about potentially joining the Pac-12 as a travel partner for Texas State. With a grin and a tone dripping in honesty, according to the article, he responded, quote, nah, the Pac-12 is the old Mountain West now. This assessment is cutting deep at the conference, trying to get out there.
What does Tony say? Oh, shots fired.
Shots fired.
Yeah.
Morris went on to explain how grueling long travel is while shuttling between regions and opponents. He pointed out that North Texas already faces enough hardship with trips inside the FBS's traditional footprint. Adding cross-country flights to a Midwest majority league would complicate everything from injury recovery to practice schedules. Chris, is he wrong?
I think he's a little short-sighted. And the reason I'm going to say that is because the Pac-12, and has a chance to be, you know, better than it currently is. Whereas, where's North Texas going as it stands now?
I don't know.
Like, I mean, who even knows who North Texas is?
Are they the Mean Green?
Yeah, you know who they're named after? Mean Joe Green, okay, who played at North Texas. They're the only school I've ever heard of that's named after a former player.
That is fun.
But I hope they have fun playing Temple and Tulsa and UAB and Charlotte and, you know, games that nobody cares
I don't understand
about.
Why he's complaining about the travel when Midwest travel seems to be a little bit easier for him.
Yeah, he's got to play East Carolina right now. That's further away. So I think he's being short-sighted. I think North Texas, too. That would be a hell of a feather in their cap.
All right, more
to be invited.
More going to Chris when we get back in 97.3 The Fan.